the songs we just sung, just really tie in this morning. So it's not in my notes, but I just want to make a couple of comments on those songs before we dive in, because it'll be a good intro.
Cheers, mate. It's all good. So the first one was Will Your Anchor Hold? And I love that song because the anchor in that song isn't actually what a lot of people think it is most of the time. A lot of people think that the anchor is Jesus. But in that song, the anchor isn't Jesus. The anchor is our faith, because it says, like, what's it say? Grounded in the rock, fastened to the rock that cannot move. So the anchor is fastened to the rock which cannot move. And the rock is Christ. Like, he can't move, but what fastens us to him is faith, our faith. So the anchor is our faith in the rock that cannot move, in Christ. So that's the first kind of thought I wanted to bring. And then the other song was Because He Lives, right? Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Like, that's how we can face tomorrow, because He lives. And it's faith that He holds the future. So what did that song say? For I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living because He lives. But it's faith that He holds the future that causes us to be able to face tomorrow. And I would say, like, in the context of today, to face today. It's faith that He holds, like, every moment that you can face today and tomorrow. But what does it mean that, like, He holds the future? Well, it means that He knows everything that's going to happen in the future. It's got to mean that, hasn't it? But it means that He's going to be there when you get there. He not only knows everything that's going to happen when you get there, but He's going to be there when you get there. But you're not there yet. So that was a bit of a ramble, but I want you to take those two thoughts into what we're going to talk about now. Faith that God holds the future. Right, so Matthew chapter 6. So you know I like my little titles for my sermon. So if there was going to be a title for this sermon, it would be Take Each Day as It Comes. So this morning's, like, sermon is a really simple message, and I can guarantee that it won't be complicated for you to understand. But just because it's simple, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy to apply to our lives. So don't confuse simple with easy. So let's, like, read the verses I want to focus on. And the one verse I want to focus on is in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse 34. But to get there, we need to get it in context. So I'm going to start reading in verse 25. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And the bigger context of this is within Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So this is Jesus speaking, okay? And, like, I need to give this caveat. This isn't like me. These aren't my ideas. This is like Jesus. This is your Lord, if you're a Christian. This is your King speaking to you. So it's not just something I'm coming up with, okay? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then we come to the verse I want to focus on this morning. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So this is the message for this morning. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. So this coming year, 2022, don't be anxious about tomorrow. So some translations have don't worry about tomorrow. But I think anxious is better, because in today's kind of language, you know, when you say to someone, don't worry about it, it can have the connotation of kind of, oh, don't even think about it. You know, don't plan for it. Like, just don't worry about it. Like this kind of, it's hard to describe, like this lackadaisical, go with the flow, just, you know, don't plan, don't do anything, don't worry about it. But that's not what this means. It's not saying don't plan for the future, because there's lots of places in the scriptures where Jesus teaches that like planning for stuff is good. Like just a couple of things off the top of my head is, like, someone doesn't go to war without planning. Someone doesn't build a tower without planning how to do it. So planning stuff is good, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. That's a different sermon. We're talking about anxiety, worrying, like being anxious about the future. Being anxious about tomorrow. So I want to give us two reasons. I want to let the Bible give us two reasons why we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow. And you know, when I'm saying about tomorrow, it just means about the future. Like basically any time that isn't like right now, right here and right now. Being anxious about any time that isn't right now. And I want to give us two reasons why we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow. And tied up in the second reason is how we cannot be anxious about tomorrow. Because that's what you all want to know. That's definitely what you all want to know. How you cannot be anxious about tomorrow. So here's the first reason that we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow. And it's given by Jesus himself in verse 27. So Jesus says this. Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? So just let Jesus ask you that question. Which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single span to your life? Like, the answer's quite simple. None of you can. Which one of you? None of you can add a single hour to your life by anxiety about the future, about worrying about what tomorrow's going to bring. And it's quite profound that Jesus said that you can't add an hour to your life by being anxious, because research has shown that, like, people who are anxious about stuff actually live less. They don't add time to their life. They actually take time from their life by being anxious. So it's quite profound that Jesus would say that, because you can literally worry yourself to death. And I don't say that lightly. But here's the crux of what Jesus is saying. And it's so simple and so profound and so obvious that it's almost annoying. Maybe I'm just saying that for myself. But I've had conversations with people about this subject, and they get annoyed when I say what Jesus says here. So what is the crux of what Jesus is saying here? Being anxious about the future does nothing positive in your life in any way. It adds nothing positive to your life in any single way. Now, I can't say like being anxious about tomorrow doesn't do anything, because it does, but it does like all negative stuff. So it does do stuff. Being anxious about tomorrow does do stuff, but it's all negative. It doesn't do anything positive. So what Jesus is saying, and like this is God speaking, isn't it? It's not just some like self-help book or some nice cliche, but it's so simple. He's just saying, don't worry about tomorrow because it doesn't do anything positive in your life. And I know like in your head you get that. But you have to let that sink in before we move on to the second thing that I'm going to say. You have to let that sink in. Like that it doesn't do anything positive for you in your life to be anxious about things that you don't know anything about that are going to happen tomorrow or in the future. I know that can be frustrating. Oh, it's not that easy, James. Like, don't even say James. Jesus said it. It's not that easy, Jesus, to just not be anxious about stuff. And he knows our frame. But he doesn't give us like a kind of excuse in this sense. He just says, listen, don't be anxious because it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't add anything to your life in any way. It just brings negativity. And that's the first thing we need to hear from Jesus this morning. Just that real simple truth. And sometimes like Jesus comes just so clear and sharp, doesn't he? It's just like you can't argue with him. It's just like that's the way it is. Just don't do it because it doesn't add anything to your life. So that's the first reason. But the second reason, I don't want to say it's less negative, because what Jesus is saying isn't negative, but it gives us a kind of solution as well. So the second reason, and tied up, like I said, tied up in this second reason is how we cannot be anxious about tomorrow. And it starts off in verse 34. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And then this is the part I want us to focus on. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what does that mean? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, this is what I think it means. Like, sufficient means enough. Right? So enough for today is today's trouble. So this is the way it works. Each day in your life will have a quota of trouble in it. It might be a little bit. It might be a lot. Each day will have that in it. And God knows that. God knows exactly the quota of trouble that's going to be in your day. And trouble in this context, I want to define as, in the context of it, is something that if you knew about it, it would cause you to worry. And each day has things in it that are trouble. But the quota of trouble for that day is enough only for that day, today. So what you're doing when you're worrying about tomorrow is you're bringing in something from tomorrow, and you're not even bringing it in from tomorrow because you don't know what it is. You're bringing in something you think might happen tomorrow into today. But Jesus said today has enough trouble for today. So what are you doing when you attempt to bring some more trouble in from tomorrow to today? You're making it too much, like more than God designed. Like God designed that sufficient for the day is its own trouble for that day. Plus it's ridiculous because you're not even bringing in the actual trouble from tomorrow. You're bringing in what you think will be the trouble tomorrow, but it's not going to be that. Because you don't know what it is. Like Si said, you don't know what's going to happen in the next minute, let alone tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 30 seconds. I hate to tell you that, but you don't. I don't. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So in each day, there's going to be a quota of trouble, if you want to put it like that. And there's going to be a quota of other things as well. Joy. Amazement. But each day's trouble is enough for that day. So just to repeat myself, if we attempt to bring in the future's troubles into today, it's too much. It's more than God has designed for you. As a child of his, he is determined that each day has its own enough trouble for you. So, another way of saying that in terms of anxiety and about worrying about things is this, and it's a worldly phrase, but I think it's true in this context, and that's why I called this sermon this. As a Christian, God, when it comes to anxiety and worrying, God simply wants you to take each day as it comes. He wants you to take each day as it comes. And I know you're thinking this is just so simple. But it's not. Because you're not doing it. We're not doing it. You bring things in from the future and you worry about them. But God wants you to take each day as it comes. Take each moment as it comes. Because another thing that we do when we think about the future in terms of anxiety is we remove ourselves from the present, like where we are now. We're not there. We're not there in our minds. We're not there in our hearts. We're in a made-up future, a future that you've made up because you don't even know what the future's going to hold. You make it up. You put yourself there. If you're doing it in your own head, you do it to yourself. But if you start talking to other people, you rip them into that made-up future as well. And no one is in the present anymore. But this might be a shock to you, but we live as people in time and space, moment by moment. That's how we live, isn't it? I don't live like now in the future. I don't live now in the past. I'm talking to you now. Like I need to be here for you now. You need to be in the present at every moment to be effective for God to use you in what you want to do. He doesn't want you off in a made-up future. He wants you in people's lives now. So by worrying, you're not present. You're not living life how God wants you to live, day by day, step by step, moment by moment. He doesn't want us to be playing out every hypothetical situation that could happen and then being anxious about it. And that's because today's troubles are enough for today. But here's the other thing, and here's where I'm going to finish. Today's troubles are enough for today. But God's mercies are enough for today as well. I want to read you a couple of verses that you know very well from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new when? Every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies are new every morning. Why do they need to be new every morning? Because we need them for that day. Like, if like what God says is true, and it is true, that like each day holds a quota of trouble, then he responds to us with a day's quota of mercy for that day. He doesn't give you tomorrow's mercy today. He's going to give you tomorrow's mercy in the morning. Tomorrow morning. Isn't it? Why is he going to give you tomorrow's mercy tomorrow morning and not today? Because today you need today's mercy. Why do they need to be like new mercies? Yeah, exactly. For new and different troubles for that day. Like, this isn't blasphemous, but God can't use like his mercies that were for you today, tomorrow, because your troubles tomorrow are going to be different from today. So he needs to give you new mercies for that day. He gives us mercies. God gives us mercies. And this is the way he's designed the Christian life. And we'll come on to why he's done it this way in a minute. It's to do with faith. He gives us mercies moment by moment. You sing that all the time. Moment by moment, new mercy. See, you sing it all the time. Why does he give us mercies moment by moment? Because we walk through life moment by moment. It's so simple, isn't it? Like, the reason he gives us mercies moment by moment is because that's the way we do life. That's the way life works. I'm looking up at the clock and the second hand is ticking second by second as I speak. I live moment by moment. You live moment by moment. That's why he gives us mercies moment by moment. Not tomorrow's mercies today. Whether we like it or not, that's the way we experience life, moment by moment. And I think like sometimes we reach into a made up future and try and grab stuff because we don't like that in one sense. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to be in control, right? I mean, the essence of wanting to try and figure out what's going to happen is you want to be in control, isn't it? I can't really think of any other reason why we want to do that. It's because we want to know what's going to happen, then we want to make it better, don't we? So we live life in the now, not in the past, not in the future. So God gives us mercies for today. And the most vivid picture of this I could think of in the scriptures, and we've looked at it recently, is when he provided manna for his people in the wilderness. Like he gave food to his people, but how did he do it? Day by day, like it was a new, fresh, like quota for that day. And if they got worried that it was going to run out and they attempted to like store it, it went off, it like went manky. But God gave them a fresh mercies every day, and he never let them down. Can you see like what happened? When they tried to take things into their own hands and predict the future, or like try and project themselves into the future in a worrying kind of way, it all went pit-tong. But when they had faith that Christ and God the Father was going to provide for them, he never let them down. He never let them down. He never failed to provide for them. But why did he do it that way? And why does he Why does he say to us, I'm going to give you mercies new every day and not to be anxious? Why did he only give them fresh food every morning? Why did he do it that way? It's so that you don't lean on your own understanding, but you trust him. Like the most basic thing in the Christian life, yet the hardest thing for people to grasp, is that being a Christian is all about trusting God. That's how you become a Christian, by trusting that Jesus died for you, by trusting that he's King, he's Lord, giving your life to him. But the way you go on in the Christian life is still by trusting him, that he'll provide for you, that he'll give you what you need. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. King David said, when I am afraid, when I am anxious, I will trust in you. So what's the like flip side to anxiety? Faith. When you're being anxious about something, it shows that you're not trusting God in an aspect of your life. Because God wants his people to be in perfect peace. He wants his people to be at peace, in peace. Not just at peace with him in a relationship, but in peace. Like, that's why we sung that song, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? So when all is billowing around you, you can have a peace that passes understanding if you're trusting God in the moment. In the moment of that storm. Again, the most obvious thing is Peter, isn't it? When they were on the boat. Jesus just had his head down and like he was focusing on everything that was going on around him and not Christ. And the moment he focused on Christ, he was walking on water. He was above the storm, if you want to put it that way. He had peace in the midst of the storm. Because he was trusting in God at that moment. We need to trust God that he's going to give us what we need day by day. And really, when it comes down to it, being anxious about tomorrow is a lack of faith on our part. Because it's us attempting to know the future. And it's our own futile attempt to control the outcome for the future. But the truth is this, that only God knows the future. For I know he holds the future. You just sung it. Only he knows the future, not you, not me. Only he knows. And only God knows what quota of trouble you're going to have for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But listen to me when I say this. When you get there, when you get there, you can trust God that he will give you the mercy and grace that you need to face those troubles. As I finish now, I want us to read a couple of verses. The first one is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. So this is Paul writing from like a prison cell. And he says this. And it's just mirroring what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then the second verse I want us to read, and it was one that Pete mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and it's one of the first verses I ever memorized as a Christian. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 to 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Who's the one who'll be kept in perfect peace? The one who trusts in God. Both of those verses give us the remedy for anxiety. And again, this is going to sound so simple. Trust in God. Trust in God. Faith in God. And just because it sounds simple, it's not easy. Like, faith is a battle. The Bible describes faith as the fight of faith. And what is that fight against a lot of the time? It's against our own inclinations to want to figure out stuff, to want to know the future, to want to do this, to want to do that. That's the battle most of the time, if we're being honest. And it's saying, no, I'm not going off in that road. I'm not going there. You know, like the picture I had this morning, you know, when Paul says to take every thought captive. You know, when you start going off down that road of what if? And that's the thing we do, isn't it? What if this happens? What if that happens? You project into the future. You need to take that captive. You just need to stop doing that. Right, to take something captive, I just think of like getting a hostage and just wrapping gaffer tape around his mouth. Right, whenever you start going down that what if this, what if that, grab it and just wrap a load of gaffer tape around its mouth. Just say stop. Just say to yourself, stop doing that, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I just don't. So I'm going to take it captive. And then I'm going to land at the one thing I do know. So I'm going to stop focusing on all the things I don't know. I'm going to land on the one thing I do know. God, you know what's going to happen. And I know that when I get there, not now, when I get there, you're going to be there and you're going to give me everything I need when I get there. That's how you combat it. You stop making stuff up in your head and you focus on what's real. God, you're going to be there when I get there and you're going to give me everything I need when I get there. Let me tell you the way I do it. This is how it happens in my head sometimes. I read stories about these martyrs and stuff who have like, you know, being told to like reject Christ or they're going to get killed. And they're like, I never reject Christ, never. And I often like think, what would I do in that situation? I'm doing exactly the opposite of what I said to this morning. I'm projecting into the future and I'm trying to pretend that I think I know what I'll do when I get there. That's like the wrong thing to do. What I should think is like, whatever happens in the future, when I get there, in that moment, God will give me what I need. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, God will give you what you need. And deep down, you know this because you're all still here today. Deep down, you know those moments, right? Where you just know tomorrow is there's something planned. And you've done all you can, and you've got no idea how you're going to get through tomorrow, and you just go to bed. And then you get to the end of the day, the next day, and you're like flabbergasted because God's got you through that day. You didn't have a clue how you were going to get through it. You didn't even think you were going to get through it. But God got you through it. And when did he get you through it? He got you through it moment by moment. He got you through it because he was with you in the moment, every step of the way. And he was there when you got there. And that's how we have to think of it. Instead of focusing on the myriad of outcomes, we just need to focus that when we wake up in the morning, God's mercy is going to be there for you that day. When you get to midday, he's going to be there for you. When you get to 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, he's going to be there for you. Go to bed. Don't be anxious about things you don't know tomorrow. Wake up the next day and rejoice that his mercies are new for that day. Rejoice that he's such a loving heavenly Father that he's given you new, fresh, specific mercies for that day. And rest in him. Rest in him. We've got like a placemat in our house, and it says, like Naomi bought it a couple of weeks ago, and I looked at it at first and I was like, the way I do, overanalyzing everything. Is that true? It says, what if in commas equals fear? Even if equals faith. And I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think it's true. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if that blah, 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 blah? Even if anything happens, God will be there for me. God will give me what I need. Whatever happens. So I'm going to stop making up stuff and I'm going to trust in God. And that's what I want to do more of this year. I want to be a Christian who trusts in God moment by moment. And as a pastor, I want that for us. I don't want us to be off in cloud cuckoo land, in your made up land. I don't want you to be there. I want you to be with God now, in the moment, trusting him. Because that's when we're going to be most effective in this world that we walk in moment by moment, right? Let's pray. Lord, as we move into 2022, I just pray, Father God, that you'll help us to not be anxious about tomorrow, but to trust in you, to leave tomorrow to itself because it has enough troubles, but to trust that when we get there, your mercies are going to be enough. I pray, Lord God, that in every relationship we're in our lives this year, we'll be present in the moment, we'll be there and not anywhere else. And we'll be trusting that you want to use us in that moment. And we'll be trusting that whatever... What's that song? Whatever my path and whatever lies before me, I know that you're going to be there when the morning comes. I know you're going to be there with new mercies when that comes. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God who goes before us. You're the God of angel armies who goes before us. You hedge us in behind and before. And nothing catches you off guard. And like nothing's going to surprise you this year. And I pray that as your people, Lord, we'd have that perfect peace that comes from trusting in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to take every thought captive into obedience to Christ. And help us just like be flabbergasted in awe and wonder again at the end of the day that you would give us everything we need in Christ Jesus for every moment of every day. You're so gracious to us, Father. You're so merciful to us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace and mercy. So we offer up our lives to you as we've sung this year, Lord. Use us in whatever way you want to. Use us as a church in the locality. And yeah, we are excited, Lord, and don't let our excitement be dampened by our anxiety in any way. Help us trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.